But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with whom were told this to the apostles.
Thank you, Graham. We join in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the reading of Scripture and the hearing of your word, and we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth, may what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit, and may what is decided lead us on toward your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. They came to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away. They did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling white stood beside them. They were terrified. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he is risen." Then they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. "He is not here, but he is risen." In one sense, Jesus is not the center of things here this morning. He is not here, he is risen. Jesus doesn't feature in this part of Luke's story. The story focuses on the women and the men. Jesus is not here, he is risen. They, ordinary men and women, are at the center. They came to the tomb. They were stricken with grief. They were terrified, amazed, excited beyond words, confused, and at first unbelieving, and then filled with joy. They, not Jesus, he is not here, he is risen. At the centre of our service here this morning, there is a human figure. It has come together with skill and imagination through the week. What Rachel didn't say was that she has been building it with others and having conversations over the making of it outside the front of the church during the week, reflecting, as we have been doing throughout Lent, on what it means to be human. It isn't perfect. Much better than I could do. Morning, James. Happy Easter. But there's no body shaming here today. It's not really a human being, yet you can't look at this and think of anything else except a human being. It's what we've been about here for weeks, the human aspects of the gospel, the human nature of Jesus, the faces of Jesus, baby face, open, serene, tired, kind, determined. And today, both the agonized, pain-filled face of Jesus on the cross and the glorious, changed, joyful face of Jesus risen. So really, you see, it is the human, our common humanity, that is at the center of things today. Not Jesus. He's not here. He is risen. Well, he is here, of course he is, not denying the story of Easter Day in any way. Without Jesus, there is nothing to see. But already, the human Jesus who walked with his disciples through Galilee, made his way to Jerusalem, is changed, more, different, something else. No longer is he bound by stones and griefs and tombs and all the pains of earth. Oh, he's not completely free. That's what the storytelling has tried to make clear. It is the two sides of Jesus today, the Good Friday Jesus and the Easter Jesus. You can't have the one without the other. As for the Easter side, we are called to use our imaginations to see beyond tombs and stones and griefs to a human being raised and changed, something else. Recognizably human, couldn't be anything else but human, like the wire model, but more, changed. Different, something else. And in a real sense, not here. He is risen. But we are here. Like they, the ordinary women and men. Easter is ours. It's not just a conjuring trick of 2,000 years ago that we must make sound more miraculous and surprising every time if we're going to keep people interested in it. It is about us. That's what Paul was always telling his churches. Belief in a risen, changed human body began long before Jesus, but until Jesus, no one had seen such a thing. A bit like that photograph of a black hole you perhaps came across a few days ago. Scientists have been believing in a black hole for decades. Lots of people had, at least since Einstein's time. Fairly sure that at the center of each galaxy there had to be a black hole. Like the resurrection. For a long time, many had believed in the kingdom of God, that there would be a new temple, a new city, an end to poverty and injustice, the coming of peace. None of it had happened yet in this world, and they'd come to believe that God was going to bring in a new world with a new city and a new kingdom. But it was still a belief. Nobody had seen it. Now there is a photograph of a black hole. Well, not the hole itself, as far as I can understand it, but the space where only a black hole can be. All around it, there is light and, I'm told, distortions in the space-time continuum. Don't ask me. Ask a scientist. Ask the Ians. Now there is Jesus. Risen, changed, different, something else. And on into the story of the encounter on the Emmaus Road and of Jesus meeting the disciples by the Sea of Galilee. How changed, how different, how something else becomes clear. They recognize him, but he disappears. He breaks bread just like before, but he goes from their sight and their hearts burn within them. They see him, and it's him, but changed, different, something else. They see, that's the point, that's what Paul was always banging on about. But in fact, Paul says, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead also came through a human being. For as all of us die in Adam, the first human being, so all will be made alive in Christ. All will be made alive. That's us, my friends. That's the future of the human being. Like the wire model couldn't be mistaken for anything else but a human being, so the risen Jesus couldn't be mistaken for anything else but a human being. And as the model is a space where everything about being human can be found, can be said, so at the center of today is the grief and the amazement and the terror and the excitement and the confusion and the unbelief and at last the overwhelming joy of all those who in Galilee, in Emmaus, by the lake, in Jerusalem, and down the years ever since have come to see that Easter is not about Jesus only. Though goodness knows there would be no Easter without Jesus. It's about us. Easter is ours. Because Jesus is risen, we will be raised, changed, made different, become something else. So in a way, you see, Easter is a call to us to live our lives in this world as if all its death dealing, its injustice, its emptiness, and its death have been changed, made different, made something else. He is not here. He is risen. Two sides, see, the pain-filled Good Friday Jesus and the joy-filled Easter Jesus. Human, changed, different, something else. So let's make the angel's question ours. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Or to put it another way, he's not here. He's risen. It's the future of humanity. It's the future of you and me. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen.